OPEC producers will meet with their non-OPEC allies in Vienna during the first few days of July, where they'll decide whether to continue cutting oil production. Bloomberg's Energy Europe team leader James Herron joins me from London to discuss the factors that will play a part in their decision. Nice to have you on, James.
Thanks, Jessica.
So the big question, will OPEC and non-OPEC producers, including Russia, which is seen as a bit of a wild card, decide to collectively continue cutting production into the second half of the year? What's the likely outcome from the meeting?
Well, right now, the likely outcome of the meeting does look like they will extend the cuts. Saudi Arabia, which is the most powerful member of OPEC, has already said it thinks an agreement is in the bag and that it's sure that everyone else will sign on next week when they meet. Most other OPEC members seem to agree. Certainly the United Arab Emirates has come out, Kuwait, Iraq, they all support keeping going with the cuts. Now, Russia is remaining non-committal until the last moment. This is something it's done at previous meetings. They usually hold out. They usually try and extract some concession from the rest of the group in exchange for eventually signing on to what everyone else wants to do. So it could work out that way again this time.
In the end, what does Russia ultimately want? Why do they tend to be a bit difficult when it comes to joining these agreements?
Well, it varies from time to time. At a previous meeting, what Russia wanted was that a few countries that had been exempt from cuts, such as Nigeria, be brought into the agreement and be made to cut as well. Now, that happened one previous time. There may be other things going on. Russia is doing a number of deals with the Saudis and other Middle Eastern countries. Because of Western sanctions, it's been a bit starved of foreign direct investment lately. So we could even see potentially some kind of investment not directly related to OPEC coming as part of a broader agreement for Russia to go along with another 6 months of cuts.
Now, I know OPEC must be watching U.S. crude production, which just seems unstoppable and is just really contributing to pushing down oil prices. Bloomberg NEF estimates oil output from the key Permian Basin in the U.S. rising 50% by 2025. How much of a concern is that?
Well, Saudi Arabia and most other OPEC members won't often admit that it is a concern. Their standard line is that they can coexist happily with shale. But really, it's clearly having a huge impact on them. The situation in the market right now is that got huge supply disruptions in Iran due to U.S. sanctions and Venezuela due to the economic collapse there. And yet, crude's trading near $60 a barrel, which by recent standards is a fairly moderate price. And the reason for that is because there's so much U.S. shale output coming this year and even next year. Now, the previous Saudi oil minister, Ali Al-Naimi, who was in charge of the country's oil policy for a long time, he thought it was a mistake for OPEC to cut production. When the shale boom started, he initially wanted to increase production, drive prices lower. He was eventually ousted because Saudi Arabia needs a high price to pay for state funding. Now, his replacement, who's the current Saudi oil minister, he was the architect of the cuts deal. And they're in their third year of doing that. But really, what's happened in the market has proved Naimi right. Higher prices meant more shale oil, and OPEC is losing market share.
And it is quite interesting that even though we have seen supply losses from, let's say, Iran, Venezuela, U.S. shale seems to still be sort of making up for that and filling in those gaps, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that looks like it could still be the case next year.
I also can't ignore the demand picture right now. The International Energy Agency recently said global oil supplies will increase far more than demand next year. The IEA's head of oil industry and markets, Neil Atkinson, spoke to Bloomberg on what was behind the agency's decision to cut its estimates for oil demand growth. Let's take a listen.
A large part of that is due to what we can see before our very eyes in that trade growth is slowing. We saw a downgrade to GDP growth from another one of the institutions the other week, the OECD. So all the signals as far as the broader economic picture are concerned are fairly bearish for the time being. And we've seen real oil demand numbers for the early part of 2019 confirm that there is lower growth than we had first thought.
How do you think OPEC is factoring the outlook on demand into their decision?
It's clearly starting to worry them. You can see that in the fact that some ministers, such as the the UAE minister, has started to talk about the needing to cut next year too. Otherwise, they'll be back to surplus just because of all the shale oil coming on. It's not something that's likely to be on the agenda at the meeting coming up in the next few days. But don't be surprised to hear similar comments from other ministers coming in the second half of the year as the demand outlook perhaps continues to worsen.
And of course, the heightened tensions between the U.S. and Iran falling right now before this key OPEC meeting, how might that play a part in OPEC's decision?
It's a real wild card, and it's really hard to say at this stage how prominently Iran will figure. I mean, it certainly has a very hostile relationship with Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, both of which are very closely allied with Trump and his policy of maximum pressure, which means sanctioning Iran's exports. And both of those countries have also been really taking Iran's market share in Asian markets, filling the gap left by the sanctions. But the fact is that it's in Iran's interest for the rest of OPEC to keep cutting, because if they were to end the agreement and increase production, prices would fall, and that's bad for Iran too. And so if recent meetings are any guide, there will be some kind of disagreement between Iran and Saudi Arabia, perhaps kind of a technical disagreement over the wording of the final communique or something like that. It could delay the meeting by a few hours, but ultimately there hasn't been anything in recent meetings that's gone as far as blocking an agreement at the end of the day.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. James, thanks very much for joining me. This is one of the topics we're watching in commodities for the week ahead. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers.